Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Happy Thursday. Welcome to Send It In, presented by BetMGM here on the BetQL Network. A lot to get to over the next 30 minutes. We will continue talking college basketball as we get closer and closer to the month of March. We'll do some glassatology on the show today. Look at the top three seed lines in college hoops. Talk about which of the teams I like and don't like moving forward throughout conference play. Also dive into the wide receiver market for Super Bowl between the Eagles and the Chiefs. We'll look at some of those receiving props. Lucy Burge going to join us later on in the show for Model Making Money. We got round one of Pebble Beach off and running as well. We'll get into some of those bets, and then we'll wrap up with our favorite plays of the day. Any questions, comments that you guys have for us, let us know. You can go to twitch.tv/BetQL, or you can go to YouTube/OdysseySports. As well. And if you miss any part of the show over the next 30 minutes, we got you covered. The Send It In podcast, available wherever you get your podcast. Let's get this show started. Glasses in session. We go to the Glasser guest line, and an old friend joins the show, Trista Crick. Give her a follow on X at @Trista_Crick, and make sure you check out her NBA podcast, The Heat Check with Trista Crick. T, great to see you. That's where I want to start, is with the NBA, because you're locked in all season. And the Thunder, a lot of people thought they'd be really good heading into the season. They have been awesome. Right now, they are co-favorites at BetMGM with the Celtics to win the title. T, who do you like better at this point? You like OKC or you like Boston?
I just feel like, PJ, thanks again for joining me, amigo. OKC, it feels like, is a trendy pick right now, right? The fact that they still don't have Chet Holmgren back from injury to play with Isaiah Hartenstein. They added him and Alex Caruso last offseason. Shea is now, like, the leader in the clubhouse for MVP. So it feels like all of the steam is on OKC. And that's fine. And I like OKC a lot. But I did just watch the Dallas Mavericks wax OKC in the Western Conference semis. And they did it in six games. And so I am wondering about their perimeter shooting. And up against a team like Boston, who can shoot, I don't know, 45 threes a game in your eyeball, and when they get hot, they get really hot, I still kind of have to give the mantle over to Boston. They're still, like, they haven't lost any pieces. Nobody's been particularly injury prone other than Kristaps Porzingis, but that's been the case pretty much his entire career. So if I had to say even money between OKC and Boston, I have to give it to the defending champ, just based on the personnel and the fact that I know some of the deficiencies that OKC has, and I haven't seen them be able to overcome those in a postseason environment yet.
Yeah, I think that's totally fair. Both those teams plus 225 to win the title right now at BetMGM. T, what about some player awards, right? We're kind of middle of the way through the season right now. I mean, SGA is like a big favorite for MVP. Coach of the Year looks like it's going to go to Kenny Atkinson in Cleveland. But some of these other markets are a little bit up for grabs. When you look at any of the player awards, anything that you like, any value out there?
I think there's a little bit of value, Peach, on Amen Thompson with Sixth Man of the Year. The only concern that I have is that he's been starting games. He's been starting, I think the last 10 games he's played in a starting role. But you look at him, he's been crushing it. Not only does he have all these like highlight-worthy plays, he just had a clutch bucket to beat Boston down the stretch. He doesn't shoot, but he can play make really well. He can attack the rim. He's a huge spark plug off the bench. And it feels what Houston is doing is so much more impressive than what we see from Boston and Peyton Pritchard, who is right now the leader in the clubhouse for Sixth Man of the Year. Like, Peyton Pritchard kind of feels like he's been Sixth Man of the Year up for grabs for many years now. And Amen Thompson is the new shiny toy. And at plus 700, I wouldn't mind putting a little sprinkle on that.
Yeah, I like that. I think that's good value on Thompson at plus 700. T, what about tonight's slate? We got five games on the NBA slate. Any bets that you like, side total, player props?
You're going to tell me that I'm a homer with this play, Peach. I know that
you're going with Portland, aren't you?
Portland, Blazers, plus 5.5. I hate betting my own team. It's disgusting. Thinking about going to the game tonight, it's here in Portland. But the truth of the matter is, when you dig into the numbers, the Magic just haven't been very good at covering. They're 3-7 against the spread in their last 10 games. And I know you don't watch a ton of Blazers basketball, Peach, but this team has actually won 5 of their last 6 games outright as dogs, pretty much in every single game. The only team that they haven't beat was OKC. They've already beaten the Magic once in those 6 games, and that was on the road in Orlando, and they waxed them. Now Portland goes home after beating Milwaukee, a very emotional win against Damian Lillard, his former team, on Tuesday night. So I think the Blazers could actually win this game outright. I really, really like Blazers plus 5.5.
I think that's a good case. I might be with you taking some Blazers money line tonight at home. I want to get your thoughts on the WNBA, T. I was excited to have you on because there's been so much news that's dropped in the last week or so. We had Kelsey Plum get traded to L.A. Alyssa Thomas is off to Phoenix. Brittany Griner got picked up by Atlanta. A lot of moves in this past week. Did you have a favorite move or trade in the WNBA?
I think my favorite move is probably Jewell Loyd to the Aces. Number one, like, she plays much better defense than Kelsey Plum. She is a bucket. Her handles are ridiculous. She can D you up. She's kind of what Chelsea Gray used to be when she was in her prime in LA. Like, Chelsea Gray is kind of on the decline. I really like Jewell Loyd. They automatically get better. And I like Kelsey Plum going to LA too. That just feels like a better fit for her as she wanted her role expanded. We know Jewell Loyd wanted out of Seattle based on some of that weird toxicity that was at least rumored to be going on between Nneka Ogumike and Skylar Diggins and Jewell Loyd and some of the coaching staff. So she asked out in this offseason, and Kelsey Plum kind of wanted out too. So I think it's a good fit for both, not only the Sparks, but Seattle. And yeah, I think that's going to be a fun team to watch.
All right, very nice. T, before I let you go, we got to talk some Super Bowl. Philadelphia and Kansas City, a rematch from a couple years ago. Chiefs are trying to go for the three-peat. They're 1.5-point favorites total right now at BetMGM, sitting at 49.5. Want to get your thoughts on some props that you like as well, but just looking specifically side total, anything in the game that you like as of now?
Well, I mean, you know how it is, Peach.
Yeah.
You know what time it is. If you can get the Chiefs as a slight favorite, do it. Money line. It's inevitable. They are Thanos. That's what they are. I would wait also to bet them live. I could see Philadelphia went, if I'm not mistaken, Peej, Philadelphia went up on the Chiefs in the Super Bowl 2 years ago, did they not?
They did, yeah.
Yeah, so I would wait. I think that scenario is certainly a possibility. Again, with Saquon Barkley having a big long run, chunk plays, something out to A.J. Brown. Philadelphia gets started early and often, and then everybody's like shocked and scared that the Chiefs, or hopeful that the Chiefs are going to come tumbling down. And then you can get the Chiefs as an underdog. You can get Patrick Mahomes as Super Bowl MVP at an underdog. I want to say last year when they were down 10-0 to San Francisco, you could get him at plus 260 for him to be Super Bowl MVP. So I think that's the play. I'm going to take Kansas City to win outright at minus 120. I also like the under in this game. I think a lot of people want to see a lot of points in this game. That's what we all want, right? But the Chiefs held their last teams that they played to, the last 5, under 19 points. They held the Texans to 14 before Buffalo scored 29. The Eagles have held 9 of their last 12 opponents to under 20. I think this game could be a 24-21 type of a game. So I kind of like the under as well.
I'm with you too, right? Chiefs didn't score 30 points all year. They do it in the AFC Championship game. Philly scored 50, and now everybody wants to root for the over, but I'm kind of with you. I tend to like the under in that game. Any props that you like in the Super Bowl as of now?
I think it's a scary one to take Saquon Barkley rushing yards, but I feel you just kind of have to do it, right? 112 is a lot. 112 and a half is a lot. I know it's a chalky play, but it feels like he's been hitting this in first halves, Peach. All he needs is one breakout run, which can happen pretty much at any time. And I'm very curious to see how many times he gets to carry the ball. We saw it was only 15 times in the NFC Championship game. I'm not sure if he's banged up or not. And maybe you want to wait until the end of this week and go on the opposite side of that if it gets all the way up to 118, 120 or something like that. I like Saquon also to score twice at plus 290 just in case I'm wrong about the under. I mean, maybe that's the only points that they score is just two Saquon Barkley touchdowns. I think also a fun one is the length of the national anthem at over 120 and a half seconds. Last year, okay. Reba went over by 5 seconds. Which surprised a lot of people. Overs in the national anthem, Peach, have hit 4 years in a row and 5 of 6.
Ooh, I like that. Do we know who's singing the anthem yet this year? Have they announced that?
John Batiste.
Okay. All right. I like it. Over on the national anthem. Very good. And then you talked about a little bit where, and I like the strategy, if the Chiefs are trailing, look at Mahomes potentially for Super Bowl MVP. Any long shots that you like for that award, or do you think it's going to be chalky? It's going to be Mahomes if it's the Chiefs, or it's going to be Hurts or Barkley if it's the Eagles?
That's pretty much my perspective on it. I would be shocked if there's no scenario that Travis Kelce can win Super Bowl MVP, because that just means that Patrick Mahomes is passing him the ball, right?
Right.
Like, he can't do everything. I don't think you now have a platoon situation between the running backs in Kansas City, with Kareem Hunt sort of having a reemergence as well, with Pacheco coming back from injury. So wouldn't do anything there. I think Noah Gray could have a nice little game. I mean, this is like a side prop that just popped into my head because he always seems to find the end zone in big moments for Kansas City, sort of being a vulture for Travis Kelce. But no, I think it's going to be chalky. I think with these two teams specifically, you can count on your hand of three fingers in terms of who's going to win it.
Yep, should be a good one down in New Orleans, Philadelphia, and Kansas City. She's Trista Crick. Give her a follow on X at Trista_Crick. And check out her NBA podcast, The Heat Check, as well. T, always good seeing you. Appreciate the time. Love you. We'll talk to you soon.
Miss you, Peach, 9.7.
There we go. 9.7. Love it. Let's keep it rolling on Send It In. Talk a little glassatology here on the program. We'll start. So we're going to break down the top three seeds right now, according to a bunch of bracketologists that we have. And really right now, a lot of people have as the top seeds Duke, Auburn, Alabama, and Iowa State. You look at most bracketologists, those are the four number one seeds that they have. I mean, we've been talking about it for a while now. Duke and Auburn have kind of separated themselves as the two top teams in college basketball, right? You look at Auburn, their non-conference schedule, ridiculous. They beat Iowa State in the non-conference. They beat UNC. They beat Memphis. They beat Purdue, all on neutral floors. They're undefeated right now in SEC play. Their only loss was to Duke in Cameron Indoor, and a lot of people felt like if that game was played on a neutral floor, Auburn probably wins it. Then you have Duke, who have suffered two losses this season. They lost to Kansas and Kentucky on neutral floors as well, and both of those games had pretty identical scores. They lost to Kentucky 75-72, and they lost to Kansas 77-72. So that's kind of how you beat Duke, right? Even when they beat Auburn, it was 84-78, but I think if you're going to beat Duke, you need to target a team that can score. They're just so good defensively. That's how we see like Houston a lot of times, or Tennessee. A lot of these great defensive teams, we see them lose in the tournament when teams are just good offensively, and I think that's how you beat Duke. But those two teams are definitely the best. Alabama, meanwhile, keeps winning games. I mean, they look really impressive. They're one of the best road teams in college basketball. Only one loss for them so far in SEC play. Bama is all about matchups. I wouldn't place a future on Alabama. I wouldn't even place a future on them when the bracket comes out. To me, it's all matchup based with them. It's round by round. You got to see who they play. If they go up against a team that wants to pack it in defensively, can force them into turnovers, and can force them into a game in the 60s or the 70s, that's how they're going to get beat. When they play teams that want to run with them, or when they're hitting their threes, or they're playing teams that they can score 80, 90 points against, that's where they're going to win those games. But they got a lot of experience, and they're playing really well right now. And then Iowa State, it's really important for them to get Moncilovic back. He's one of their best shooters, because right now there's just too much pressure on Curtis Jones to score the basketball. Taman Lipsey, Keyshawn Gilbert, a couple of their other guards are too inconsistent for me. I think Iowa State could be vulnerable for an upset potentially in the round of 32 or in the Sweet 16 if they get a bad matchup, because if their offense goes cold, they could be on upset alert. As for the two seeds right now, I don't really like any of the two seeds currently. You can see on the graphics who the projected two seeds are outside of Florida. That's the only two seed I like. I've been talking about the Gators all year. I just love their guards. I think their trio of guards is the best in college basketball. They're a really dangerous team, and their defense this year is excellent. That, to me, is what's the difference with Florida. Under Todd Golden, they're always going to be able to score, but this year they're defending at a high level, which is what I think makes Florida dangerous. Tennessee, it's the same old story. Their offense is so inconsistent. They're so up and down. Great defensive team, but they're not going to score enough points for me. Not interested in the tournament. Marquette, I think they were better last year than they are this year because they lost Tyler Colick. They have a lot of the same pieces back, but losing Colick, one of the best point guards in the country, Marquette's not going to be better than they were last season, so I'm not interested in the Golden Eagles. And the Michigan State's an interesting team. They're 18-2. They're undefeated in Big Ten play. Tom Izzo's their head coach. We love all those things come March. My thing with Michigan State is that they just don't have a guy. I feel like Michigan State's best teams when they go to the Final Four, Izzo's got a leader, usually as like a point guard, right? He's got a Cassius Winston. He's got a Denzel Valentine. He's got one of these kind of guys like a Miles Bridges. He doesn't have really any of those guys this year on this team. And ultimately, I think that's going to kind of what holds back Sparty. So Florida's really the only two seed that I like at this point. And then the three seeds, you got Houston, Purdue, Kansas, and Kentucky. All these teams have interesting upside, but they have major flaws as well. Houston, much like Tennessee, on a sheet of paper, it looks pretty good, but it just feels like it's the same old Houston team. And in years past, they've had great guards with Jamal Shedd or Marcus Sasser. They really don't have that guy this year. Purdue is really good at Mackey Arena. It's a different story when you get them away from their home building. And I think Matt Painter is going to look like the Matt Painter we normally see in the NCAA tournament when he doesn't have a generational player in Zach Edey. Kansas, I worry about their perimeter scoring. They're a really good defensive team, but if Zeke Mayo isn't scoring for them, they can really struggle to get buckets. So I worry about Kansas. Then Kentucky, defensive end of the floor. To me, Kentucky's kind of similar to the team last year. All offense, no defense, but they're a much more veteran team, and Mark Pope's a good coach, and he's got a good staff that they make good adjustments. So the Cats will be an interesting team, but all those three seeds, they have some interesting flaws. I'd look to fade a bunch of them, depending on some matchups come March. All right, let's talk about the Super Bowl here on Send It In. Dive into the wide receiver market, and there are three receivers that I'm looking at for their receiving yardage coming up in the Super Bowl. Devontae Smith, his receiving yardage is sitting at 50.5. I'm expecting a big game out of Devontae in the Super Bowl. I'm going to talk about a bunch of different props that involve him. I think matchup-wise, Trent McDuffie, the Chiefs' best corner, is probably going to be on A.J. Brown for a majority of the game. That should open up some areas for Devontae Smith. A lot of people like Dallas Goedert because the Chiefs do struggle against tight ends. I think Devontae Smith's going to be the guy who ends up having a big game. He had 7 catches for 100 yards against the Chiefs in the Super Bowl when they matched up 2 years ago. Juju Smith-Schuster, I like his over receiving yards as well at 12.5. In the AFC Championship game, it felt like Juju was getting a majority of the snaps that we all probably thought DeAndre Hopkins would be getting this time of the year. Certainly Worthy and Kelsey are the top two receiving options, but I think Smith-Schuster is going to get a decent amount of snaps out in the Super Bowl. I like his over 12.5 receiving yards. He can get that on one catch. And then finally, give me Hollywood Brown under 40.5 receiving yards as well. Feels like on this network, whenever I've been doing a show and I've been talking to Chiefs guests, they're all high on Hollywood. They're saying this is the game Hollywood's going to break out. This is the game where Hollywood could have a big impact. And he really doesn't. He didn't have a catch against Houston. He only had 35 yards against Buffalo, going up against one of the best secondaries in the NFL in Philadelphia. I'll take his under 40.5 receiving yards. For the receptions, I would look at Xavier Worthy under 5.5 receptions. Again, Philly's secondary is really good. And Xavier Worthy isn't really like a Rashee Rice type who racks up the receptions. He's more of like a gadget player, like a Deebo Samuel type. So I'll go under 5.5 with him. I'll take Jahan Dotson under a half a reception as well at plus 110. Basically, Dotson not to record a reception. I like that bet. So I'll take that at plus money. Longest receptions, I'll go Devontae Smith. Over 20.5 longest reception. I think that's a good bet. He's gone over that in 5 of his last 8 games. I like Hollywood Brown under 18.5. I get Hollywood's got a ton of speed, but Xavier Worthy is the deep threat for Kansas City. It really hasn't been Hollywood ever since he's come back. So I like those two plays as well. Some other receiving props that I would look at. Head-to-head matchup between Dallas Goedert and Travis Kelce. Which tight end is going to have more receiving yards? Goddard's plus 130 to have more receiving yards than Travis Kelce. He only had 2 catches for 19 yards against the Bills. I think the Bills put some things on tape that the Eagles can try and duplicate to take Kelce away. And like I mentioned, the Chiefs struggle against tight ends. So I think Goddard's going to have a pretty good game. I like him plus 130 to have more receiving yards than Travis Kelce. So those are some props that I would look at. But I really think this is going to be a big Devontae Smith game. He is the receiver I would target. I would take his over receiving yards. I would take him anytime touchdown. Longest reception, I would take 2 or more touchdowns for Devontae at 22-1 as well. This guy's been a big game player his entire college and NFL career as well. As I mentioned 2 years ago when these teams played in the Super Bowl, Devontae had 7 catches for 100 yards. How about in college at Alabama? He played in 2 national championship games. When he was a freshman, he was the receiver that caught that 2nd-and-26 pass from Tua when Bama beat Georgia. And then the year he won the Heisman Trophy against Ohio State, all he did in the national championship, 12 catches for 215 yards and 3 touchdowns. Devontae's a big game player, and I expect him to have a big game in the Super Bowl against the Chiefs. All right, let's talk some golf here. We got live action going on right now at Pebble Beach. We got some tee times coming up here in a little bit. So, Shawnee Sharpe, let's dive in some of the golfers we like at Pebble and do a little this or that.
Yeah, so the first one we got here is Shane Lowry at minus 135 and Aaron Rye at plus 105. Tee time just started at 106.
I'm going with Aaron Rye in this one, Sean, for people out there that can still get it in. I'm high on both of these guys this week, Lowry and Rye. I think both can have pretty good rounds. But at the plus money, I think Rye's good value over Shane.
All right, let's go to another Will Zalatoris, minus 150, or Chris Kirk, plus 120.
Again, I like both golfers this week, but I'm going to go with Chris Kirk. He's played Pebble more than Will has. He's got some decent finishes, like mid-20s. And again, for a golfer like Chris Kirk, Pebble Beach is actually a good fit. He's a shorter hitter, he's accurate, and he's a good putter. The greens are so small at Pebble this week, accuracy and approach play is the number one thing we're looking for. So I'll take Kirk to get off to a hot start, plus 120.
How about Tony Finau, minus 125, Max Homa, plus 100. This tee time is just starting right now at 119.
Yeah, I'm going to take Tony Finau. Homa hasn't been in the best form, and even though he is a California kid, he hasn't played as well at Pebble as of late. Tony's been in a little bit better form, and even though his length won't be a big factor this week as it might be in some of the other events that he'll play in throughout the year, I do like Finau at minus 125.
All right, how about the most fashionable golfer on tour, Jason Day, minus 200 versus Adam Hadwin, plus 160?
Jason Day, man, Pebble Beach is like a second home to him. He is a top 10 machine at this golf course. 6 of the last 7 times that Jay Day has played at Pebble, he's finished in the top 10. So there's a reason he's minus 200 against Adam Hadwin. He always plays well at Pebble. He usually starts fast. So if I had to do it, I'd lay the minus 200 with Jay Day, but probably throw him in a parlay with another matchup that you like.
All right, 3 more here for you, Peach. Hideki Matsuyama, minus 150 versus Sepp Straka at plus 120.
It's a tough one, too. I like Straka. Both of these guys have only played Pebble a couple times. I don't think it's a great fit for Matsuyama. There are certainly other courses around the world that fit his game better. I think that's a big reason why he hasn't really played Pebble all that much. So, Sepp Straka won a couple weeks ago. He's in good form. I like the plus 120 with him in round one.
All right, let's head over to the 1:32 p.m. Eastern Time tee times here. Victor Hovland versus Slick Rick. Ricky Fowler, -105.
We're going with Ricky Fowler. I'm a little worried about Hovland right now. We see this all the time. We get some of these top golfers that just start off the new year, and they're not right. We've seen that with Justin Thomas, Colin Morikawa the past couple years. I think Hovland's kind of that guy right now. He's a guy I'm looking to fade. So we'll go with Ricky Fowler, -105.
All right, and last tee time of the day here is going to be Billy Horschel, -185 versus Brendan Todd at +145.
Yeah, I like this quite a bit, the +145 with Brendan Todd. He actually finished runner-up here 2 years ago in 2013. And again, he's like a Chris Kirk, his kind of game. Shorter hitter, good putter, accurate golfer, one of the most accurate players when he is on. So +145 with Brendan Todd going up against Billy Horschel, who can tend to get a little bit wayward on his rounds. I like taking Todd at the +145. All right, let's go to model making money now. Check in with Lucy Burge, who is standing by here on a Thursday. Lucy, what is the five-star plays BetQL has for us today?
Yes, hello, PJ. Five-star play for today is the Kraken and Sharks under 6 goals. The Kraken have hit the under in 3 of their last 4 games and in 4 of their last 7 at home. The Sharks have gone under in 3 of their last 6 on the road, and the Sharks have only scored 2 goals in each of their last 2 games. So the BetQL model loves the under 6 goals in this one as a 5-star play for tonight.
All right, very good. Lucy, what about your best bets for tonight? What are you on?
Yes, so I'm sticking with hockey because it's been going well, PJ. I have now hit 3 of the last 4 hockey bets, including the Capitals, which I might have for today as well. But I'm starting with Bruins money line against the Jets. The Bruins have actually, despite the optics and the aura around them, they've actually won 2 of their last 3 games. The Bruins hit a little bit of a skid, but maybe they're back now. And I think tonight they will be. They have won 2 of their last 3 and their last 4 at home. They are 16-4-6 at home, and the Jets have lost 2 of their last 3 games on the road. Bruins have also won 4 of their last 7 as the underdog. Bit of an underdog here. I'm taking Bruins money line tonight, and then the Capitals again. Capitals money line against the Senators here. They have won 7 of their last 8. They are 34-11-5 so far this year, 18-3-5 on the road after winning 5 of their last 6 away from home. So Capitals money line as well tonight.
Lucy, the people can just take Lucy and Peach parlay, right? A little Bruins and Caps
it.
Tonight, best
yeah.
bets.
The BFF Absolutely. Parlay, PJ.
BFF parlay, Lucy. Look at
Love
that.
That.
Let's talk some Super Bowl. We were talking about some receivers earlier on the show today. I tend to think this is going to be a big Devontae Smith game for Philadelphia. If there was one receiver, Lucy, or a tight end that you think is going to have the biggest game in the Super Bowl, who would that wide receiver or tight end be for you?
Yes, so tight end, a guy you mentioned, Dallas Goedert. I think he could have the best game of the best. He's the best guy in the Super Bowl. He has had a monster playoffs. He has 15 catches for 188 yards postseason. In Jalen Hurts' 8 postseason games, he has completed more passes to Dallas Goedert than any other player, as well as more first downs to him than anyone else. So the opportunity will be there, I think, for Dallas Goedert to have the best game.
All right, very good. And Lucy, what about a long shot touchdown bet that you like? Anytime touchdown bet for a wide receiver, tight end, running back. We're all looking to hit, strike some gold for Super Bowl Sunday. Anybody that you like to score a touchdown, nice long shot.
Yes, I love these long shots. So Dallas Goedert, if you like him to do it, it's +333. It's not the longest long shot, but it's plus money there at BetMGM. Though a longer shot, Justin Watson, +1,200. He had one on Christmas Day. He could sneaky be a guy that Mahomes goes to for a touchdown. Samaje Perine as well, +1,000.
Love it. Very good. Lucy Burge joining us here on Sendin' It for Model Making Money. Lucy, always good seeing you. We'll catch up again soon.
I'll talk to you soon, PJ.
Sounds good. For those people who want to continue to bet, don't have the time to research each individual game, you need to download the BetQL app. Ranks each game on a 1-to-5-star scale based on its unbeatable analysis from spreads and over-unders to player props. Stay up to date and bet confidently with BetQL's help. All right, guys, time to wrap the show. I see you guys are in the comments here with a lot of questions. I absolutely love it. B Mills, hey, Peach, how we like an Oregon +4.5 tonight against UCLA? Also, I think Devontae under catches is interesting at 4.5. Only had 4 catches on 4 targets in each playoff game. Oregon, UCLA, I'm staying away from. B-Mills, I got burned last night with Wisconsin, +4.5 against Maryland, right? Taking the ranked team as the underdog against the unranked team. Wisconsin looked like the right side for much of the night, and then Maryland pulled away. I kind of fear the same thing tonight with Oregon and UCLA. So that's going to be a stay away for me tonight. Jen McGraw, happy Thursday. Go Birds. Go Birds. Jen will definitely be on the Eagles in the Super Bowl. And then a couple questions here for Moist Cupcakes. PJ, would you take Cooper Flagg to the Washington Wizards right now at +500? The only problem, Moist Cupcakes, with taking like these NBA props are obviously that it's a lottery. So we don't know who's going to be drafting number one overall. And I can tell you as a Wizards fan, with their luck, they're probably not going to get the number one overall pick with a prospect as good as Cooper Flagg. So if they had the number one pick, Cooper Flagg definitely would be the selection. But just being a Wizards fan, like, they'll never get this lucky and end up getting him. So I would stay away from that. And then this is a year to fade the Bruins every game. Sorry, Lucy. No play for me on that. It's going to be a tough one tonight against the Jets, but certainly a down year for the Bruins. As for some of our plays for tonight, Devontae Smith, guys, he's my dude in the Super Bowl. Devontae's either going to make us a lot of money or he is not. We're taking over longest reception at 20.5 yards. He's gone over this in 5 of his last 8 games. He's kind of become the downfield threat for Philadelphia. A.J. Brown certainly makes his fair share of deep catches as well, but I think Devontae Smith, longest reception, over 20.5. I like that play. College hoops play I do like tonight. B-Mills is going to be Nebraska, +4.5 against Illinois. Look, the Illini offense is a wagon, especially when they're hitting shots and they're cooking, but Nebraska is always a difficult place to play on the road. I'll take the Cornhuskers, plus the points. And then I'm going to the NHL with my best bet tonight. I'm going Oppo of Lucy. I'm going with the Ottawa Senators, -110 on the money line. I mean, look, the Caps have the best record in the NHL. They're on the road tonight against Ottawa, who's a playoff team. They're not a great team. It's a pick 'em. I'll trust the odds makers. Give me Ottawa, -110 against the Caps. Once again, Devontae Smith, longest reception. It's going to be our prop lock. Nebraska, +4.5 dog of the day. Ottawa Senators money line is our best bet. Thanks again to Trista Crick, Lucy Burge for joining us today on the show. We'll wrap up the week tomorrow. See you guys then.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.